So tonight we want to open up in the Word of God tonight to the book of Exodus, the Old Testament book of Exodus. I had a message that I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach, and I had it all fixed up last week. Thought I was getting ahead of things and going to have some extra time to work on some other things, and I just didn't have peace about it. And so I was praying, I was reading here in the book of Exodus, and these passages we're going to read tonight. This is our Bible study night. And before you have an amazing fit or something like that, we're going to be reading quite a few verses here in the Bible tonight. I want you to see something tonight that really spoke to my heart. And as I was thinking about the revival, I was thinking about the time that we have together as Christians to be revived. When we talk about revival, so many times we talk about folks getting saved and all these things happening, but none of that is going to happen unless those of us that are born into the family of God get revived. We need reviving. We need to be brought back to consciousness, so to speak, with the Lord. And the folks that are lost, they're dead in their trespasses and sins. You can't revive something that's dead, okay? They got to have a new birth about them, and they got to be born into the family of God. But that will never happen unless you and I have the Lord reviving us, bringing us back into a conscious revitalization, and seeing the need to do what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord. So tonight, as we look at this tonight, I'm going to read quite a few verses here to you tonight. But I want you to take time to see what God is trying to tell us tonight and what God is speaking to us about in His Word tonight. And I want you to look tonight in the book of Exodus. I'm going to go back here just a moment to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23 tonight. We're going to begin down in verse number 20. Pastor has been preaching to us about Jesus in the Old Testament scriptures. And we're going to see here how that God speaks to Moses and tells him about the incarnate Christ that is going to be their helper as they have come out of Egypt and they are going to the promised land. And here beginning in verse number 20, God talks to Moses about this, and these are the things that he was wanting the people to see and to understand. And before we start the reading tonight, I just want to take time now to pray at the beginning of the message, because I need God's help with this tonight. And I want His clarity on what He wants me to say and how He wants me to say it. And I want you tonight to take the Word of God and let it soak into your heart and see that even in the days of the Old Testament scriptures, God wanted His children to be close to Him. God wanted His children to be so close that they could dwell together, so to speak, and be together. And folks, if we ever hope to have revival in our nation, it's going to have to, first of all, start in our churches. And if it is going to start in our churches, then it's going to have to begin in our hearts, your heart, my heart, because we are that body. We are that church. And we are the ones that are to take the light of the glorious gospel into all the ends of the earth. And if we don't do it, let me ask you tonight, who will? If we don't do it, who will? So I want to ask the Lord tonight again. I've been praying all day about this thing, and I just want to have His peace and His strength and His wisdom tonight in this message. And so let's pray tonight. Father, I love You tonight, and I thank You, God, so much for the privilege to be able to stand and to preach Your Word. God, why in the world You would ever call an old wretch like me to preach Your Word, I'll never know. But God, some 46 years ago, as a 15 and a half year old young boy, God, You reached down further than I could ever reach up, and You saved my unworthy soul. And God, you put a desire in my heart to be able to tell others about Jesus. And Lord, that's what I want to do tonight. I want to tell folks about your dear son. And Lord, I want our people tonight to see the burden that was upon your heart. And Lord, the desire that was upon your heart for your people. And God, as that desire for your people then was real, God, so it is today for us as well. And I pray, Lord, that tonight you'll speak to our hearts through the Word of God. And help us, Lord, tonight to see your desire for our lives. Lord, your burden, your desire for us to be revived. And Lord, for us to be able to go out and to tell the lost and dying world about a Savior that loves them and cares for them. Lord, we need you tonight. God, I need you tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'll speak to my heart. Give me the words to say. And Lord, prepare my heart, as you've done so far today, to be able to give the message, God, that you want me to give. And Lord, we'll sure thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Tonight, here in Exodus chapter number 23, I want to begin in verse number 20. Exodus chapter 23, verse number 20. And we're going to begin here. And here, God is speaking, and he is saying to his people, to his servant Moses, he's saying, "Behold, I send an angel before thee." Now, I want you to see here, that word angel is capitalized. It has a capital A. God is speaking about someone specific here. These Hebrew slaves and former bondmen have been taken out of bondage now. And God says, there's a way that I want you to go. There's a place I want you to be. There's a land that I want to give unto you. And there's going to be some heartaches and troubles along the way. There are going to be some challenges along the way. But what I'm going to do for you, God says this. Now, notice this. God says, I'm going to send an angel. And I'm not talking about one of these little fluttery things you see in the picture books and things like that today. Some little female angel has got a halo around her neck and she's got a little harp she's playing and all this. That's not what God is talking about here. Folks, that is not the kind of angel we need today. Amen. But when just going down the road, I need one that's going to be there and keep me safe. Amen. When my wife drives, I need two of them to keep me safe. Amen. And listen, I need a big, strong one, okay? I don't need this little effeminate thing you see on these pictures today. And God sent the right one to lead his people. He sent the very Son of God, his blessed angel. And look what he said. He said, "Behold, I send an angel before thee." What's he going to do? To keep thee in the way. To bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him, or take note of him, and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Think about that, folks. God says, I'm going to take care of these things so that you can enjoy the trip. Amen. You know what? We need to learn to enjoy the trip that we're on today. Amen. We need to be joyful tonight in our journey. Why? Because God is ever before us. And he's going before us. Look what he said. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods. Notice that little g. Nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee. Now think about that, folks. You ever been chased by a hornet? Brother, that is a race that you cannot win. And God said, I will send hornets before thee, which will drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. But little by little, I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. What is he saying here in verse 30? He's saying, I will never put on you more than you can handle. Little bit by little bit, I'll take care of you. Just trust me. Amen. Just trust me, he says. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. And I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. Chapter 24. And he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. You know what that's called? That's called obedience. Amen. All the words of the Lord will we do. Not some, not the easy stuff, but everything that God has said. Folks, that's where we've got to be if we want revival. We cannot pick and choose what we're going to do in service for the Lord. We need to be obedient unto him in all things. Now look what he said. Verse number 4. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said will we do, and be obedient. Boy, don't you wish you could hear America say that. But you know what? It'll never happen until you and I say that. We've got to choose to be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. Can you imagine that? And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone. And it were as the body of heaven in its clearness. And upon the robes of the children of Israel, he laid not his hand. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. What is God saying? From my hands to yours, and from your lips to their ears. That's what we're doing right here tonight. We're taking the very Word of God and we're delivering it unto you so that you then can take it and teach it even to others. And Moses rose up and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount, and the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and gat him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Now imagine in your mind seeing all these things and knowing that God has said, hey, I'm going to send my angel before you. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to wipe out all your enemies. All you have to do is trust me and obey me. And then he tells us why he's doing all this. And he expresses his love for his people in this next chapter. And I want you to see this as we look at verse 1, begin in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them: gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for sweet incense, onyx stones and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary. A sanctuary? Yeah, God said, I want them to take these things that they are willfully offering to give unto me for a purpose. I want them to make a sanctuary, a place of honor, a place of worship. Why? Look at what God said, that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. My goodness. You think about what God had told Moses here and what he was expecting of his people. As we read these verses that are found here in these three chapters, I want us to see and I want us to take note of something very important tonight. I want us to take note that God is showing us his very desire for his people that he loves so much and that he had created in his own image. He had a desire, he had a wish, he had a want to for his people to be with him and for him to be able to be with his people. But you know, ever since the Garden of Eden, Satan had tried to do all he could do to break that blessing that God wanted to be upon his people. And you know, here as we look at this, from the very first day that God spoke and said, let there be, and when he chose to create the heavens and the earth, boy, the devil has tried to fight against all that God has wanted to do. And folks, let me tell you something tonight. No matter what we do for God, the devil is not going to be happy about that. He is not excited about us getting revived, okay? He is not excited about the thought of you and I regaining the joy of our salvation so that we will be willing to offer unto God that which is rightfully His already. He's not going to be excited about that. And as we look at the message tonight, and in these scriptures that we just read, we see this fact once again, where that after delivering His people from bondage, and after delivering them from certain death in Israel, or in Egypt, God tells them here, beginning in Genesis chapter 23, verse number 20, how that He loves them so much. He's going to take care of them. He's going to guard them. He's going to protect them. He's going to go before them. He's going to send His pre-incarnate Son before them to take care of all the obstacles that come their way. And everything that the devil tries to throw at them, guess what? They're going to have to go through God's angel first of all. Amen? You know what? Nothing can happen to you or me without God saying, you know what? It's all right. Just trust me. Just trust me. And God here is telling these folks, He said, just trust me. Can you imagine that? Trust me. Know that I'm going to be with you. Know that I'm going before you. Know that I am going to take care of your enemies. Those that are enemies against you are automatically enemies against me. That's what He's telling them. And He said, I'm going to take care of you. What great love God had for His people. And what great love He continues to show His people even in our day today. He shows us that love. He goes before us today. And you know, as I was looking at this, I thought about this spring revival coming up and how that God's desire is for His children to love Him and to realize all that God has done for them so that we might in turn be willing to do all that we can do for Him. Folks, I'm convinced we are living in some days that are going to become more wicked and wicked as the days go along. We are seeing things happen in our land, in our country, in the hearts and the morality of people that's never happened before in our history. And folks, the only thing that can change this is revival within your heart and mine. Politics cannot change this. Hey, listen, government is not going to change this. Only Jesus can change this. Only the blood of Jesus. And as I read through these verses, I thought about just how much the Lord God truly does love me and just how much the Lord God really does love you tonight and how much He cares for us tonight. And the sweet Holy Spirit of God not only reminded me of God's great love and concern for each of us, but He shows here in His Word and through these scriptures His love and His desire for each of us in turn to love Him. To love Him because He first loved us. To do for Him all that is within our power to do. So that our world can stand without God one day with no excuse. And you know what? Whether they accept Christ or they don't accept Christ, that's between them and God. But your job and my job is to stay close to the Lord and revived in our own spirits and have the joy of the Lord in our hearts that we would want to tell everybody what Christ could do for them. And that's God's desire here. We see God's desire within the passages of Scripture that we're reading right here tonight. He brought these people out that He might bring them in. So that all the world around them, all those who had turned to the other false gods and idols made with man's hands, that had ears that could not hear and eyes that could not see and lips that could not speak, God wanted them to know who the one true God really is. And God wants us to realize that tonight. Simply put, the reason that we don't have revival in our lives, I would really believe this, both physically and conglomerately, you know, personally, and as a group, as a body of Christ, is because we truly do not see the need for revival. We're not desiring it, folks. And listen, how can we desire something for our church if we first of all don't desire it for ourselves? We've got to desire it for ourselves. The devil has used this old flu bug going around and all this mess going around to get us so complacent in the things of God. We can do anything else we want to do except tell folks about Jesus, except be in the house of God. And I know that there are lots of people that are still, they're trying to get these shots and they're worried about these things. And you know what? There's a right to be worried about it. I've had it. I know it can make you very, very sick. But listen to me, folks. The devil wants to go beyond the sickness. And he wants us to see that, listen, we can't do those things anymore. We can't live for God like we used to anymore. The world is wanting to say, hey, you can't do what you used to do for the Lord now. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And folks, if you and I don't choose to do that, who will? Who will? Folks, I'm convinced tonight that the key to our experiencing a God-sent revival in our lives personally and in our church family is only going to come as a result of our understanding of what God's divine will and desire is for each of us as individuals, as each of us. I think about how that God has blessed this church in so many ways. And I think about how that God has used this church to get the gospel to the ends of the earth, literally to the ends of the earth. And folks, the devil doesn't like that. And the devil wants to stop that. But I want you to turn with me just a moment to the New Testament book of Luke. I want you to turn here to the New Testament book of Luke chapter 24. Because in this Bible study tonight, we're going to spend some time not only reading what God's Word is telling us, but I want us to read it so that we have understanding of what God is saying unto us. So many times we try to read through the Bible. We say, man, we got to hurry, got to get through a year. You know what? But we need to take it in. Last night we were eating some soup. Mrs. Zaki had knee surgery, and she's still recovering from that. She's watching tonight over the internet on her TV set. And she gave my wife and I some homemade soup on Monday night. Big old thing of it. And when we got home with that thing, buddy, I ate three bowls of it myself. My wife ate a bowl or two. Danny ate a bowl or two. Precious ate a little bowl of it. I mean, it was just good. I finished out the whole thing today for lunch when I went home. And I finished out that. I had another two big bowls of it this afternoon for lunch. And I may get another bowl tonight. I don't know. It just depends. But you know what? I ate it and I enjoyed it. And you know what? When we eat of this bread of life, we need to eat of it, not just to take it in, but to enable it to help us to understand what God's perfect will is for our lives. And in Luke chapter 24, we see this. Look at it. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 49. And here Jesus spoke to his disciples. And this is what he said. Luke wrote here and he said, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. That's what we need tonight. We need God to take His word and give it unto us, but we need Him to open up our understanding of His word so that we can fulfill those things which God desires for us in order to have revival. We cannot do it without His understanding. And the Bible said, and He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Folks, before the power of God came upon them to be the witnesses for God that He wanted them to be, the Lord had them spend some time alone and apart from the world and in the Word and in prayer and in a desire to seek the power of God upon their lives. And God did that in 10 days after Jesus arose and ascended back up into heaven. And that number 10 is the number for testimony. You and I are to have a testimony for God that we have been with Jesus, amen? That the world can see something different about us. And it will make them, you say, but you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You can lead that horse to water, but you just can't make him drink, preacher. But you know what? If we become the salt of the earth, what we say and what we do unto them, salt will make them so thirsty, they'll want to drink. Amen? They'll want that living water so that they will thirst no more. And the Bible said here that in this chapter, in the book of Luke, Jesus opened their understanding. Folks, we need to pray that God will open our understanding of the Scriptures here tonight. Now, I want to give you tonight, in the next few minutes, some God's keys to revival. Just three quick things I want to share with you tonight. From these passages here in the book of Exodus, I want us to see this. First of all, I want you to understand that as we read these things, we need to ask the Lord to open up our understanding. Amen. That we might understand what His will truly is for our lives. Listen, folks, you have been saved for a purpose. You have been saved to do something great for God. You say, but I can't do anything great for God. Listen, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And folks, we can do great things for God if we allow Him to open up our understanding to know His desires, to know His perfect will for our lives. Listen, the psalmist David wrote this, and I have this verse written in the front of my Bible as I begin to read through the Bible scriptures each year. I read this verse, and it says in Psalm 119, verse 18, the psalmist David said, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Sometimes we skip so many places in the Word of God because we say, Lord, I just don't understand it. But we don't understand it because we don't ask Him to open up our understanding. We don't understand it because we pray amiss and we don't seek to know what God wants us to know. Listen, when Solomon prayed, he told God, he said, God, I'm just a child. Man, I don't know how to rule these people. God, I need your wisdom to do this. And guess what? God gave Solomon wisdom to rule the people. And God will give you wisdom. God will give me wisdom to know how to best serve Him, how to reach people, even in this difficult time. Who would have ever thought that we would not be able to have services like we have? But who would have ever thought that God would have used the internet ministry the way He has? And the telephone ministry the way that He has, and open up the doors of Zoom around the world with telling folks about how to lead others to Christ. You know what? We may have never done those things unless God had allowed to happen to us what has happened in this last year. So we don't need to see it as a hindrance. We need to see it as an opportunity to do something great for God. Amen? We need to see that tonight. Now, folks, listen. God has a desire. And he said here in this Exodus chapter 25, in verse number 8, God said to Moses, "Do all of these things that I may dwell among them, that I can be with the people that I so love and I desire to be with. You do these things so that I can be with them." And folks, God's desire was and still is today to be with us. But we've got the desire for him to be with us. And we've got the desire for us to be with him. Now, I want you to see three things tonight. Number one, there's a work that needs to be done for the Lord. There is a work that needs to be done for the Lord. As we look here at Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 9, I'm not going to read the verses again, but I'm just going to summarize them here for you. In verse number 2, we see the work of our giving unto the Lord. Our giving unto the Lord. Now, the first thing people look at when you say giving in the church is, you ever watched Dobie Gillis back years and years ago? Yeah. I remember that. An old Maynard G. Crab, okay? Anytime you mention work or anything like that, work, he'd just have a fit, okay? And it's the same way in the Baptist churches a lot of time. You mention the word give. Oh, no, I can't do that. But listen to me, folks. God wants us to give of ourselves unto him. Hey, listen, why are we able to give unto him our talents, our abilities, our temple, our treasures? Why are we able to give any of these things unto God? Let me tell you why. Because God gave to you and to me first of all. And God gave his best so that you and I could give our all. And here in verse number 2, we see the work of giving unto the Lord. We see how the work was to be done in our giving unto the Lord, willingly and with the heart. Now, you know what? If I go home and I tell my wife, "Honey, I love you," and she's running around real busy in the house and everything like that, and she looks at me and says, "Oh, I love you too." And that's all it says. That's all she does. Man, she don't come over there and give me a little kiss on the cheek. And if I turn my head real quick, I'll get one on the lips. And you know what? If I go over and sit down beside her, I want to hold her hand, and she says, "I got to go do something else. I'm busy. Listen, you can be busy in the ministry of the Lord, but never be busy doing what God wants you to do. And folks, we need to do what we do for God, number one, willingly. Not because the preacher says do it, but because you want to from your heart. Amen? From your heart. Listen, I love my wife with all my heart. I don't love her with my feet. Okay? Now, my feet are pretty good size. Okay? I got some of that mask stuff in my mouth here, the little fibers, and they're just aggravating me to death tonight. Amen? Y'all pray that I can swallow them and get on with this. Okay? But I don't tell her, "Honey, I love you with all my feet." I don't tell her, "Honey, I love you with all my brains," because I know what she'd do. She'd look at me and she'd say, "Well, I guess it is the little things that count." Okay? But I tell her, "Honey, I love you with all of my what? My heart." And that's what God wants us to do tonight. In order to have revival, we've got to be willing to give back unto God willingly and with our heart. And look what else he said. Verse number 2. We see that the work is to be done by every man, not just a few good men. And in that verse 2, we also see that the work is to be done unto the Lord and not unto man. We're not here serving a man. We're not here serving some denomination. We meet together here so that we might learn how to serve the Lord. Amen. We serve the Lord. And look at verses 3 through 7. We see here how the work that needs to be done, as well as the gifts that are to be given, are for a specific purpose, listen to me, that has been designed by the Lord God Himself. What we do for God, God said, this is what I want you to do. We're not out here trying to please man. We're trying to please God. And look what else he said. Verse number 8. God here tells Moses the reason for the need of those specific items. And that being that they were to make God a sanctuary that he might dwell among them. Oh, to be in the presence of God. Oh, the joy of knowing that you're walking along with Him. Can you imagine what it was like with Adam and Eve? When each afternoon, God would come and walk with them and talk with them in the cool of the day. But you know what? We can experience that same joy in the Christian life if we'll allow Him to do that. And look at verse 9. God tells Moses, don't compromise. Don't change what I've told you to do. Don't change the pattern and the example that I've given you to follow. But rather, God tells Moses, he said, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. What are we to do? We're to follow God's pattern. Amen. When we stay in the book and allow the book to stay in us, we can do great things for God. Amen? We can do great things for God. But then number 2, I want you to see this. There is a way in which God wants His work to be done. There's a work that needs to be done for the Lord. But there is a way in which God wants us to do His work. Look at what he said in verse number 9. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. The tabernacle of dwelling for God among His people, it was all according to God's plan, not Moses' plan, not Aaron's plan, not Joshua's plan, but rather it was to be all done in accordance with God's plan. Amen? Folks, God has a plan for this church. God has a plan for that our pastor. God has a plan for you and for me. And we need to be willing to follow that pattern. But then, number 3, there is a willingness. There is a willingness that God desires for His work to be done. There is a willingness that God desires for His work to be done. Look here again at Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 and 2, where God said of the work that's to be done, He said it must be done willingly with His heart. Folks, don't do it because the preacher says do it. But do it willingly from a grateful heart. Hey, listen, don't even stop doing it because somebody around you may stop doing it. But you do it willingly from your heart. Remember the reason that you do what you do for the Lord today, folks. It is so that God might dwell among us. God is not going to dwell in a dirty vessel. Listen, Danny one day, he likes to drink milk. And so he had some milk out and he poured it in a glass and he didn't drink it all. And he left that glass laying on the table. And I didn't see it. I mean, I didn't think anything about it. The inside of the glass, the cup there was white and the milk was white before it turned colors. And I thought to myself, good night, man. What in the world is growing in that cup? And I dumped it out in the sink, and it left an old ring inside of it. It was nasty and dirty. And I thought, man, I'm throwing that thing away. I'm not drinking out of that thing. And you know what? God will not use a dirty vessel any more than you and I will want to use a dirty vessel. It's so that God might dwell among us. Even as we read right here in verse number 8, that I may dwell among them while here upon this earth, and so that one day, through the marvelous grace of God, we too can be with Him in heaven. And we can enjoy the splendor of heaven. And as Jesus told His disciples, that where I am, there ye may be also. God wants that for every person. God doesn't have just a clique out here that He wants to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. Listen, I'm glad that God doesn't work with cliques, because if He did, I probably would have never been in it. But God saves anybody who is willing to trust Him. Now, what was God telling Moses here in verse number 9? What's He telling him? He said, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. What is God telling Moses? He said, Moses, My way is the best way. Folks, we can go out here and get us a rock band and set them up here, but you know what? That's not God's way. Hey, listen, you can go out there and get somebody that will compromise the Word of God and tickle everybody's ears and make a bunch of jokes and just come in here and just draw a crowd. But listen, that's not what we need. That's not God's way for revival. God's way is the best way. And we've got to find ourselves desiring what God desires for us, so that we might be able to take the message of the gospel to those that need it most. And before He returns again, He's coming again. And when He comes, guess what's going to happen? You and I are going to stand before Him and give account unto Him for how we've served Him. I want revival in my heart. I want revival in your heart. But the choice is ours as individuals. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I've tried to preach the message, God, that You gave me to preach. I've struggled with it, Lord, and You know that. But God, You showed me some things that I needed in my life. And Lord, I could only show these people tonight the things that You've shown me that I know to be true. Lord, I want revival in my heart. God, I want revival. I want the joy of the Lord to be in my heart. And Lord, when all the world around us is looking at all the down things and all the bad things and all the wicked things that are going on, Lord, when somebody asks me, Brother Ray, how are you doing? I want to say with a joyful voice and a joyful tone, I'm saved by grace. And I'm walking in His way. Lord, help us, God, tonight to desire what You desire for us. And that being a renewed joy, a renewed revival in our hearts and in our lives personally, so that our church conglomerately might have the revival spirit about us. Oh, God, speak to hearts tonight, would You? Do for us, God, what we cannot do for ourselves. And Lord, we'll thank You for what You do. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.